town hall call to order at 6:09. Sorry, I didn't have the recording on, but that's okay. I want to mention a few things that happened last time. The roll call was already done. Ariana and Joe were up in the front, so if you came in after and you did not see an iPad and someone taking the attendance, we're going to do it at the end. And just remember, it's your responsibility to let us know if you're here. There's so many faces in the room, and I actually can't remember all of them. So please make sure you do that at the end. I probably don't really need this. At the end of the town hall. So one thing I want to mention, did everyone get a chance to see the town hall minutes on the website? Okay, some of you are shaking your head. Some of you are very confused. So after every town hall, about a week after, there's minutes up on the website in addition to an audio or a visual recording of what happened. So it's really important. So if anyone's ever interested or you forgot something that might have been important and you want to bring it back to your org, it's always there. So that's a recording of what happened. It's also our contract with each other of things that we talked about at the town hall. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about, my name is Emma Rush. And I am the executive vice president for some of you who are very new and I don't know your faces. And then up in the front today, we have David, class one director. We have Ruthie, class four. Marie Esther, class three. Serafina Janice is here, the executive president. Ooh, you're in her presence. And then we have our attorney general, Joseph Dibas. He's over here. And then Ariane, who's also a legislator. So we have some people in the House that are able to hear what you're saying and are able to act really fast. So make sure you take advantage of that. We are in a space where we have two things going on next to us. So if it ever gets louder, you're not able to hear, just raise your hand and ask someone to repeat it. Because I am cognizant of what's going on in that other space. I guess they're playing xylophones. I'm not sure. Okay. So two things I have to report on. Super, super important, right? The first thing, y'all got my email about elections, right? Your elections. How important your elections are and the recording process is. So for those of you who didn't, I'm just gonna reiterate, woohoo! That's Ariane, everyone. Phenomenal, okay. So I'm gonna reiterate what was in that email to the best of my ability quickly. So the first thing, elections are all done on HawkSync now. No longer able to submit physical ballots of your election results, right? Has to be on HawkSync, done under forms or polls. Forms is much easier to use, so I suggest forms. And you can export the results and send it directly to myself, vp.sjmsu@gmail.com. Again, this is in the email that was already sent out. I'm just repeating it, so you get a nice refresher. So a couple of things that, and then some the questions that I got from the email, I'm gonna address those as well. So, the Constitution, you all have individual constitutions, and they're structured by this one that we give you when you charter. We suggest that you use this Constitution as your base. You cannot deviate from your Constitution. Cannot. So if it says you have to have nominations, the week before you have the meeting for elections, you must do that. It can't be, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever is before. You cannot have interviews before. You cannot have any pre-screenings. It's not included in your constitution already. Some of you do. Some of you say, must meet with the person holding the position in order to run, which I think is a good idea because you want to make sure that person understands the position and hears it from that individual. There cannot be additional requirements saying needing to be on the executive board or all of this. You can't create those requirements. It must be written in your constitution already. So please be cognizant of that. And if you're like, well, this is how we did it last year might have been wrong. But we're making sure that we keep very, very good track of what's going on. So after the election results come in, you nominated the week before and the week after you have your elections. After they have all came in, you're sending me an email with every person that was elected, right? From your president down to your historian, I need to see it all. Because it's going on a master sheet that everyone's gonna have access to in order to communicate with each other. So for example, you need to talk to the treasurer and they're not responding to that generic organization email. You can email the treasurer personally. So this is gonna be really important and it's gonna be very useful for next year. So please, make sure after your elections you send me the results. I need to know who won, okay? And the other thing, nominations, I did have a question. You don't have to be present. The individual who's running does not have to be present that meeting in order to get nominated, okay? So if they're out of town, if they have class during that time, they don't have to be there. So it can be someone else, a friend, like I can nominate Serafina if Serafina's not gonna be present. Okay, does everyone understand that? And lastly, again, there's please no additional processes. We are checking it, we're reviewing it. It's not just myself, bringing it to others to make sure everything is good, because we wanna make sure that the processes are as democratic as possible. How we hold our elections and the severity that we hold appointing, you know, and electing new officials is very serious. And it is serious for your organization, eBoards, as well. So we just want to make sure everyone's being held to the same standard on that. Any questions about elections? Okay. And the next thing is our elections. So the SGA elections, Joe gave you a little half sheet with all of the events that we're having for the elections. They start next week. Well, they technically started this week with Meet the Candidates. So we have a lot of events that we want you to go. We want you to come out and learn. So for this week, it's Meet the Candidates. So we had today, we had the vice president. On Monday, we had the presidential candidates. Then it will go treasurer, secretary, and the last day is going to be board of trustees. So you come to the SGA office. There's a table right outside of it. They're going to have their little poster, you know, anything they have that they want to give to you. And there's also going to be cupcakes there. Yeah, cupcakes. They're very good. So you can grab a cupcake. Remember, you can only grab a cupcake if you learn about the platform. You can't just grab a cupcake and run away. You got to learn what the candidate's saying, because that's the whole purpose of it. So the next week we have, on Tuesday, we have the debate. Thank you. So Tuesday we have the debate, and that's where you're going to hear the candidate speak on a bunch of questions that we have prepared for them. And they're gonna give you their response to it. And it's really, really insightful to see how they, one, think quickly on their feet, and two, just how they talk to you and what issues they decide to address. It's really important. Then on Thursday of next week, we have the Constitution Reform Info Session. So you've heard us talk about it. We're gonna keep talking about it until it's done. And that's where you're gonna learn about all the new changes that are happening to the Constitution. We don't want you to go in there blindly and just say yes to a referendum question when you don't know what's being changed. And I promise you, all the changes are made in your favor. So please come out for this and hear what's going on. There will be lunch served at this event. There's gonna be food at almost all of the events. So the debate, there's gonna be food as well. So that's exciting. Then the week following Spring Fling is we're gonna have like a Stuff a Plush event. This is the event that we're co-sponsoring with Commuter Life. It's just for you to come out and have fun, and we're having voting, we're having polls at that location. So you can vote right on site. Again, it's on Hawksink, so you can vote anywhere, but it just makes it easier and you also get to stuff a little thing. And then we have our Pork Roll versus Taylorham event. That's really exciting. So another referendum question we're having, we're distinguishing which one is it, pork roll, Taylor ham. You have a preference, I bet you do. And for those of you who don't, there are vegan options available. So you can partake in those as well and still go to the event. And lastly, we have our trivia night, which is gonna be a bunch of awesome prizes that we're gonna just give out. And the whole point, we just wanted to get you there and to vote. That's really it. It's SGA elections. SGA theme, so it's gonna be questions that you're gonna know. So, who is the president? No clue. I did just mention her right here, Serafina Janice. I'm gonna be dropping hints during this town hall that are gonna help you with that event. Who's the attorney general? I don't know. So that's really cool. Please come to that. And finally, our results party, which is on April 12th. You get to hear who is gonna be there. We're gonna have some people from the administration, students, the current e-board and other members of the SGA just welcoming in the new board. It's gonna be super exciting. So please come out to these. If you haven't got one, we can make extra copies for you. Thank you. But yeah, it's Joseph Divas, he wasn't getting up. Okay, all right, so then we're moving on. Finally, the moment we've all been waiting for. Our guest speaker we have today is Erin Wilner from Catering. And she's here to talk to you about something that they're going to be doing in catering, a little change. And you're gonna hear it here first, so that's really exciting, and you know, have your feedback, so please be super attentive, and again, as always, no phones, because you don't get credit if you're on your phones here. Just remember that. So, Erin, you have the floor.
Also, my cigarette. That was a lot of hype. It's not that exciting what I'm talking about. But I did bring food, so that makes it a little more exciting. All right, wait, I have to get one picture because I have to, like, prove that I did this and all that jazz. Just, like, you have to prove you were here, I have to prove I was here, and whatever.
It's very true.
So, and I'm usually, like, better picture of them. Yeah.
I'll get you.
Okay, so what's the point of me being here? I recognize some people in the room. Some people have come to see me up on the 7th floor University Hall. Yes, no? So I am the catering director here, so I'm with Dining Services. So we're all one big family, but I happen to represent catering. And what I'm here for is to just let you know about some options that we can do for you. Now that it's the end of the year, a lot of the organizations have end of year parties or gatherings or extra money you need to spend or, you know, whatever it is to do. So I put together just some things that we do for a lot of student groups on campus that other student groups don't know. And it's really what I see as the most popular, what your peers want to eat. Now that doesn't mean that we can't do other things. This is just some stuff that isn't on our standard menu for you guys, but that might be fun for some end of year parties. Again, we can do anything else, but this is just some ideas of what to do and kind of in an affordable, less than our standard catering, you know, prices, because I know that's a little much for you guys. So this was created as a PowerPoint presentation. So we had some technical difficulty, but nothing makes us sweat. We just move right along. And so we printed it out. So a couple of things aren't formatted right, but that's fine. You get the idea. So I am not sure what it is about breakfast, but Montclair State University students love breakfast. So this breakfast for dinner, breakfast at night, breakfast in the morning seems to be like what gets you places. So all the like faculty run organizations that want student presence, for whatever reason, they tend to do breakfast for dinner. And so this pancake bar we did for one group and everybody loved it. So if you feel like that's something that your organization would like, we can do it. It's super easy. It's just pancakes with a bunch of toppings. And listen, if you like scrambled eggs on your pancakes, we can do anything as the toppings. These are just some ideas. And this is all based on pickup. So anybody that's done stuff with us, you come, you pick it up, and you bring it to your event, which is just a much cheaper way to get some catering at your event. Not because we can do a whole setup that's super nice like that, but it's more expensive. So just within your budget. So pancakes, we can do it with waffles, we can do it with French toast, we can do it with anything that might be something that your groups will like. So this is a new one we just came up with. It's you pick three. It's a little bit covered. It's kind of like a lot of those like Fridays, they have like a you pick two. So this is sort of a selection of all the stuff that you all, and by you all, I'm making it very general to the student population, want to eat. So all this stuff that's nice and good and fried and all the same color. But we can do it. You pick three. We base it on anywhere from 2 to 4 pieces per person in case you want to know, depending on what the item is. Obviously 4 pigs in a blanket to 1, you know, potato skin. But again, we can do anything like this. So you pick three. We can make a whole buffet for you to do. If you're doing like a late night snack or something like this, this could be fun. Obviously we can do drinks and everything with everything, but this is just the food. Okay, what else do we have next? Taco bar. This is the, I would say next to the pancakes and breakfast, this is the second most popular student group idea. Beef, shredded chicken, a whole bar, you make your own taco, hard shell, soft shell. We can do tofu for the vegan folk, and you know, whatever you want to do, but it seems to be pretty popular. There are some, I guess some groups like to do it where they had a bag of Doritos or Tostitos or something, and they put the topping in the bag. That was the same thing with the ice cream. You'll see we did the Famous Amos cookies. So Dippin' Delights is the next page. That's what I just chose to call this sort of snack food. I did some of it back there. So the house-made chips and the onion dip, like if I was having a party, that is something, and I do have parties, and that is something that is always there. It's not really on our menus that you see, but it's something that everybody will like. So the chips and the onion dip, flatbreads and spinach dip. We make the spinach dip upstairs, so it's super good if that's something you want to do. Chips and guacamole, pita chips and hummus. that's vegan, vegetarian. Christina and bruschetta, again, vegan, vegetarian. So these are just some fun dips and stuff. It's cheap food, you know, like it really, but it lasts a long time. So if you have $100 to feed 50, 60 people at your event and you want something to look like it's going to go far, these are good items to give them. Because again, like Emma was saying about elections, like food is what brings people. So if you need attendance at your events, it's just, you know, a good way to do it. And then last but not least, just on this is the ice cream social, which a lot of people do. This is, like I said, the commuter groups do it where they get the Famous Amos cookies and you fill the bag with your ice cream. But we could do a sorbet too for a vegan option, just to always be keeping that out there. And you know, your selection of toppings. So this is, listen, none of this is new to you. None of this is that creative. They're just ideas that are at a lower price point for you to, have for your groups. Back there are mini cupcakes, cookies, any of the sweets, you know, we can always do brownies, Rice Krispie treats. So just, you know, talk to us, let us know what you can do to sort of go out with a bang for your groups if you have any events that need attendance. Any questions? Any, I mean, I can, I don't really want to take all the dining services questions. I'm happy to stick to catering if we just can just leave it there. But any questions, anything? Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's $12.50 per person, but it says a minimum of 25 people, so
yeah.
You have to order 25.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's over $300.
Mm-hmm.
Which
right.
is still a lot. My club doesn't have even 20 members.
Okay, so I'm going to give you two options there. So we have to keep a minimum at some things, and I'm going to explain to you why it's not just to do it. So if you look at that menu, it's beef and it's shredded chicken. So if you tell me we want to do it for 10 people, it's like this much beef. And there's no way for me to give it to you so it doesn't look like a terrible, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not, if you came to me and you said, I have 10 people in my group and I have $150 to spend, you know what I would tell you? Don't do the taco bar. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not, that stuff, you need a bigger amount. Maybe we would do the quesadillas or something already assembled so we can make 10 or 15 or 20 of them for you at a lower price. Anything that's a bar, anything that you're going to pick, any salad bar, anything like that, where you're picking and making your own, it's always going to be more expensive because think about how much food has to be there. So for an org that's 20 people or less and doesn't have a lot of money, that's why, you know, we're giving you other options. And there, or you take that. If you really, really want to do it, I wouldn't do the beef and the chicken. I would only do the beef or the chicken so we can double that up. And maybe take out two of the items. Maybe you don't get guacamole or you don't get cheese, and then we can make it cheaper. So if you come to me and you say, Erin, I have $150 to spend for 15 people, I'll tell you, you can have a modified version of this. There's almost nothing we can't fit into your budget. A couple of people have come to us before and said we have X amount of money before. And I'll be honest with you, there's some times where we say we just can't do it because then I'm promising you something, you're going to show up and it's going to be like, why do I have 3 pieces of chicken for 50 people? But there's always a way to work around it. But sometimes just like, you know, sometimes it's just not the right menu for your group. But that's why we have to put a minimum on it. Otherwise, there's just no way to serve it right and have it look right.
Any other questions?
What's the minimum for the ice cream social?
It was on there, so I don't know if it translated. Okay, so it really should be 50 people, and I'm going to tell you why it's 50 people, but how we can work around it. Because the ice cream we use is those big 3-gallon tubs, so that's, you know, 50. So if you wanted to do it for 20, you just would only get one choice of ice cream. So again, we can modify it, but really, you know, 25 to 50 people, depending on how many flavors of ice cream. But if you want to have, you know, let's say a vegan option as well, you want to have at least two choices. So that's for a bigger group.
And then my last question, mm-hmm. I guess it's more towards like the SGA with
Peeps and Forms. So if it's toward the SGA, we'll address that. Just hold on to it because Aaron's not going to know the other workings of the SGA. So we'll just think that question. We actually have a dining section, so you could ask it there. Anyone else have questions catered towards catering, right? So not dining services. Erin is not, like, does not speak for all of dining services. But you did have some catering questions last time. You have the source here right now.
Okay. But I already answered all the questions you can probably think of without you actually asking them, probably, right?
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Okay. This is normal.
It's one and done.
She's kidding.
So
you guys gotta liven up a little.
When does this menu go up live?
It is live. This is live. I mean, I can put it on our site for you, but this is the launch of this menu. It is custom for you right now for this event.
So we can share the, if you share me the link with it, we'll share it out. Absolutely. Give it to all the organizations. Yeah.
And then my second question is there any way for us to now do the minimum of 25 to 50 people? Can we do, like, if we had, like, I know you're saying if we had 10 people and we had a $150 budget, but can we just do singles? Like, does anyone get, like, when you go to a restaurant and you buy a plate for one person, can we do that? Do we have to buy it in bulk?
I'm universally going to say yes. You have to order it in bulk. I am not saying there isn't a particular item, but you, like, it's all about how we serve it, right? So you don't, we don't have all the food cooked. So I'm just coming and I'm making you one plate of the food. Do you know what I'm saying? One serving of it. It has to be, we only have a bowl or a platter, you know? It's.
Are you talking for the bar or are you talking for like dinners?
Oh, I'm just talking about food in general. Like, oh, is that going to be dining service?
No, so some of the catering food is individual. They will give you an individual price. Okay. Like I've gotten for like dinners.
Right, per person. Yeah, we can, per person. You order per person, but there's still going to be a minimum. You can't call me and say, Haren, I need like a chicken dinner for one person, and I need a quesadillas for one person. There has to be a minimum, mostly because of the way we serve it and the way we make it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions for Erin? Okay. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
And for this new menu.
All right.
Is this mine? Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, we have extra.
Yeah.
Did anyone not get a menu? They want a menu? Sorry, can you just hand that to them? We have three extra. Very exciting. Big things. Okay, and if you're just walking in and you're looking to get the elections events that that sheet we did, Joe has his hand raised. He's going to give that out. I'm going to do yours first, right now. All right, and attention focus back in. Okay. So that was an amazing opportunity. And I'm not going to lecture anyone on why they didn't ask the questions that they had last week to Erin, but we will address them. Maybe you'll feel more comfortable talking to me, and I will talk to you catering by myself. So we're going to do something weird. We're going to not follow the agenda exactly. Since we have Serafina here, who is the executive president, and all of the external SJ issues that y'all deal with, that she advocates on your behalf. So we have her here. So she's going to tackle some of the things that were brought up at the last town hall, some things that have been done to move forward with these issues, and some things we've hit a roadblock with. So Serafina, external SJ issues, it's all her now.
Oh, sure. All right, everybody. So I'm just going to go through this and then I'll take some questions before I have to run to class. So first, the cross-contamination issue. We passed a bill. I have sent it on its merry way and an email, so I'm just waiting to hear back as to what the next steps will be in that process. And if it's like a meeting I'm going to go to with somebody, we'll update you on that. But I got it, received it, sent it out to the people that it needs to be sent to. So we're just waiting for the next steps. For lack of crosswalk safety and crosswalk lights, we actually have our meeting with Dr. Cole on Monday morning. So I'm going to bring that up at our monthly meeting with Dr. Cole and kind of see what she can help us with, if there's a place to go, because I know that's typically the vice president of facility, Sean Connolly, and I have emailed that man countless times and have never received a response from him. So we're just gonna bring it right up to the top and then see where it goes from there again. Now, handicap accessibility. This is an issue that I ran on and spent all summer trying to get somewhere with. And every time I was told, we can't do that right now. We don't have the places to like pave right behind here. We can't do that right now. We don't have the money to do that right now. We don't have the space and the personnel to put all these things. The doors can't be fixed right now because there's classes in session and we can't do that right now. We have summer session, we have this and we have that. And I was met with lots of excuses from multiple people. It's something I still try to advocate on when I can, when I have the platform and I have someone's ear to do so, but it's always met with a lot of resistance, not because they don't want to, but because of the money and the time it takes to fix certain things, they are just very weary, and they already have their plan of when certain things and everything is going to get finished and what their schedule is, and trying to get it on there is like putting it on for 5 years in the future. So it, trust me, I see it, I try, we all see it, we all try up here, and it's not that it's falling from like, it's not falling on deaf ears on us, because I'm trying my hardest too. It's just something that needs to constantly be addressed, and then maybe eventually somebody will actually take it seriously. I try all I can. So if anybody has any questions about that, anything else, any other issues, I'm here, please talk to me.
You could ask her now. Yeah. She is here right now.
Any other questions unrelated to this? You had another issue between now and then. Tell me now, because we do have our, like I said, we have our meeting with Dr. Cole Monday morning.
This right Monday.
Monday, April 1st. We have the opportunity to sit down and talk with her. So now is your chance to bring it right up to the top.
Are you intimidated?
And yet it's not labeled as a common allergy. Do you think it would be possible to label it?
Yeah, that's something you know, bring it for dining.
We'll talk.
Yeah, definitely bring that forward. I'm not texting, just so y'all know I'm writing it down. I don't want it to seem like I'm being rude, but I'm writing it down on my phone since I forgot my label. Yeah, definitely something we'll bring forward.
Anything else? I'm done with it. You could hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything, SGA external issues.
Yes.
Thank you. Hope
about
it's good.
The crosswalk issues.
Yes.
I'm a product design student, and we have design competitions and everything going on constantly. In fact, we're doing a traffic safety design competition right now. So I don't know if there's any possibility of like almost like linking up and trying to do like student work to get involved on campus and have like our work like put up in effect that might help, you know, the student body.
Yes. That's a great idea. Yeah. You'll be gone, you go down in infamy. So what you should do is email the president, president.sgamsu@gmail.com. And just with your contact, just say, this is the, you know, this is what's going on, these are the designs, and then...
Yeah, information about the event, and kind of, so I can forget.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Students helping students. Anything else? Mega. So wait, can you just project? Yeah, we have an alliance with them to never come on time.
Yes, we met, all of us as a whole over the summer, met with parking and shuttle services, and we brought up that very issue of getting a schedule, of getting anything, something, the next bus app to run correctly, something. And then we were told to create a report. So that's what we did. For a week over the summer, myself and I know Jill too, waited for the shuttles, took detailed account of when they showed up, how late they were, if they stopped, if they did not stop, what if they stayed on their path, if they didn't stay on their route, what the deal was, they were feeding all of this lovely information that the director of shuttle services asked us to do. We typed it all up, it was so pretty, so nice, and we sent it to him, never got a response.
Wow.
So
you know what? Maybe it's time to talk to Dr. Cole.
Yeah, I must say, I had the same thing. I was running down the steps by the village, and the bus driver saw me running, stopped, looked at me, and I was like, yeah, I'm coming. Sped away, and I was like, thanks, sir.
It was a great day.
But yeah, so it's, we tried. We continue to try. So if you and other people, like, create a report, write it up, send it to me, we can send it again. And again, you just
keep
like,
sending
need
it.
To keep pushing the issue that we know you're ignoring us, but we're going to keep showing you what you can be doing better. And there's going to come a time where they won't be able to ignore us anymore.
Yeah. And I want to preface, it's actually not before, it's after. So I want to talk about something that's going on at an international organization level that we experience the same thing here. So when Serafina like addressed a lot of the things that you talked about last week, and most of it sounds like we can't do anything, we wrote reports and we can't do anything, it happens. So the United Nations, we all know a lot of the conventions they have against torture for women, child abuse, the United States doesn't like them signing them, but the biggest thing they have is shadow reports. So a report written to say that whatever is going on, we're countering it. So if the administration tells us, oh, by the way, they run efficiently, they come all the time, the shuttles are very accurate, you know, we write a report, which Jill did. I had to open it. I just had to. All right. Strike that from the record. Okay, so we write it. Okay, yeah, he just wanted to rip it open. So we write and we keep writing. And unfortunately, what happens in the international community, and what's happening right now, when it becomes big enough, once more people write these reports, and it's not just coming from one report, you give 60 reports that you've all have gone for a week, just a week, and have written down exactly what happens in the shuttles, it becomes bigger. So that's what needs to happen. So again, we'll take them all. I will send you a nice email, say confirm receipt, and we will bring it to parking services. But when it's just one person or two people that write the report, it literally means nothing to them, even if it's coming from the president and the secretary of the Student Government Association.
I was gonna say, I know like I was elected to represent you and I do all that I can, but I can't do it alone. I need you all to help me help you. Because while I know I am one and I do have an amazing privilege to be held to like on a platform that I'm able to reach so many people and so many administrators, but again, they still only see me as a student at times. So I'm gonna, if you see something and like, you can help me now, but hey, I wrote a report, I had friends write a report, exactly what I'm saying, send them. Send them to me, I will send them forth and just be like, hey, listen up, like we're still coming, like you didn't get away with it this time, fine, I know it's not like, but I need y'all to help me help you.
Do you have a follow up to that? Yeah. So the question was, why, if you have a parking permit, why is it not 24 hours or whatever? Okay. Yeah. So that I understand that. I do understand that concern. But for them, it's, are you staying overnight? The parking part, the reason for that is because you're commuting to classes. They don't take an account where you're, if you have, you know, other things are happening. If you're a part of a club, if you're studying, if you have a job on campus, it's not taken into account. It's solely when classes end. They go 10:45 at night is when they end, or later if you're having, you know, different theater classes, and then a couple hours after it. That's why they do it. And that's, I'm not just telling you, it's not like a, they probably could create another plan if you're willing to pay more. You know, I can't imagine them giving the same plan, getting more spot coverage, and then paying the same amount. I can't imagine that. They're, like we mentioned last time, they're only getting the revenue from these parking passes. So they're not generous. They don't get grants from anywhere else. So if you're willing to pay more, then I could see them making an additional parking pass for those who want to stay the 24 hours as commuters.
We can ask.
We can, yeah.
And we're going to say no.
Yes.
We're no better off.
Mug. No?
Oh.
No, yeah.
Oh.
Not for Mug?
No, just kidding. Follow up from that and also the sales thing. When you say write a report, what kind of information exactly would you be looking for from it? Because I've recently had a lot of problems with shuttles.
Yeah.
I was 45 minutes late to class yesterday because the shuttle didn't show up for half an hour at 10 a.m. So I kind of want to.
So you, what we would be looking for is kind of like right where you are coming from, right what time you got there, how long you waited, what time they finally got there.
Time it took to get to class.
Yeah, like how long it took, kind of like these things, and if you could maybe. Yeah, like the time, because they know who was on what, maybe even like if you got, like, if there's like a bus number, I'm not trying to remember if shuttles even have numbers at this point, but try any information that you can as to like where you were, what time you got there, how long you waited, all that information. Because they also know, like, they have their schedule, so they know who would have been driving while
the shuttle
went
at
that
time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe just, this is a reference to the parking passes, maybe just like a point. For students who are speaking of myself, like being, I was an athletic training major, and something that we had to do was clinic hours. So I structured my entire schedule. So my classes, I had all 8 a.m.s, pretty much finished class every day, 4, 12 o'clock, went straight to clinic, you know. And sometimes it's like, you know, you have to change your clinic, travel to a transit or travel to wherever you're able to park, you know. Go instead of, you know, I live in Hawks, why can't I just do my parking box or parking at nearby instead? And it was just a hassle because like I gotta go through snow, rain, everything just to get to my car, you know, and get to something that is academic related. You know? So maybe that's something just to mention for students.
And you're a resident?
Yes.
That's why, okay. So you're a resident and you don't have that. So, yeah.
Quick comment on the 24 hour parking, because I had this issue and I asked parking services about it. And the reason why parking isn't 24 hours is because they don't want students sleeping overnight in our cars or like going to their friend's dorm room and not paying for housing, which kind of then reflects, about like the, why is housing so expensive then?
Yeah.
If people can't afford it, there's not enough housing, students are resorting to sleeping in their cars overnight. And like, I'd rather know that my students are sleeping in cars on campus and like parking on like some strange side street and not on campus.
Well, now we're getting to housing insecurity and combating that. It's all these issues are multifaceted. It's not as simple as I have a parking permit and I want to just, you know, for mega shoot, I just wanted to study, right? Yours was as simple as that. I just wanted to study for later than 3 a.m., you know, because I like studying. That's really impressive, by the way. And again, then you get into people who are housing insecure, and we actually do have, well, we are having a bill that's addressing that in our legislative body, addressing housing insecurity at Montclair State University and getting them actual housing. So housing, whether it's on campus, whether it's at a nearby hotel and they have transportation to get here, we are working on that. So if you're interested in the housing insecurity aspect of it, that's something that you would come and tackle at the legislative meeting tomorrow at 3 p.m. So the committee's done good work to get that up and going. But again, we will bring these issues. Sarah will definitely advocate on a lot of this. So for example, if you have a class that makes you go off campus, but you're a resident, but you need a car, having maybe a reduced rate or something that would
more access to other,
yeah,
lots.
Other lots.
Kind of seniors have it, but like other people don't. You're stuck in car or roof and transit.
I was a half a credit short of being a senior and they wouldn't give me a senior pass.
There's a senior pass?
Yeah.
The resident pass, you have to have 90 credits to have a resident pass, otherwise you have to park.
Didn't even know that. So apparently if you're a senior,
you can get a resident pass and you can park in all the yellow commuter lots whenever.
What?
Yep.
Yeah, the senior pass.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of it.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Trying to get something like that, but like you have to present like certain circumstances where you would need access to your car to be closer to your residence hall.
Can you park on any commuter lot after 4?
Yeah.
From 4 to 8 a.m.
Yeah. Okay, anything else for Serafina? Because she needs to go learn. Nothing?
Student first.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. I love the clapping. So I'm gonna start. All right, and now the good stuff. No, I'm just kidding, okay? So internal SJ issues. We spoke again, and we have some solutions, and hopefully y'all brought some solutions to the table to fix some of the issues that we were faced with, as mentioned at the class director meetings, and we'll have the class directors speak individually about their class as a whole and what they, you know, what they came up with for some of the items. All right, so the number one thing was geared to class twos and class threes, and that was dealing with budgets, right? So we talked about it last time. Some of y'all mentioned that the budgets were too low, they needed more funds. How are they gonna accomplish that? So maybe we'll hear from the class directors about as a whole what they thought, and then if you wanna speak individually for your organization in your class, you could speak on behalf of that. So Marie, you wanna?
Okay, can everyone hear me? Okay, awesome. So we had a long, very long talk, my organization and I, about budget. Because for those who are not aware, class three organizations get $1,000. That's it, every semester. I heard that right. And so for some organizations, not a lot, a handful of them, that money is extremely small. For a good amount of the other organizations, the money is too much. Because we have a wide variety of organizations in the class three quarter. And so one of the suggestions that we came up with was having a flexible budget like the class one organizations do, where we say, okay, our organization needs 2,500, but let's say another organization needs 500. We should be able to determine how much money we need rather than just getting a stable amount of money. And we came up with, you know, solutions on how to fix that. We will put in a proposal during the summer. We will have extensive conversations with whoever needs us to have that conversation in the SGA. We can form our own committee, financial committee, and send all of these proposals to the SGA if need be. And so that's what we came up with, but we just thought that the $1,000 was not beneficial to anybody whatsoever. Just only two organizations said it was okay, but everybody else said no.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone from a class three organization want to speak on behalf of that? Yeah, just say what org you're from. I have no clue, and I'm really upset. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, so it's an 8-hour event. It's usually over 100 people. So we need security. Security alone is $480 of our budget. It's a dance marathon, so we also usually want a DJ there, which sometimes they're like 300, 400. Like, it depends. So, like, that right there, that's our full budget. So we barely have enough money for any props for the actual event, anything like that. So that's just our main thing going on for that. But then in the spring, we don't have any big events that really cost anything. So we don't really use our full budget.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Class threes only. Yes.
I
would probably, if you are able to stand up or just turn so that everyone in the back can hear too. Class twos.
Hey y'all, y'all might not be able to hear me because I can't really talk. But one thing that we did come up with in our meeting is the flexibility as well, but just having more money, because I know we're
We're just going to be louder than that now.
Okay. So one thing that we did come up with was the fact that with class two organizations, they have to have at least 8 events a semester. And a lot of the organizations tend to have 2 big events where they need cops. And I know cops is a lot of money, so people do spend at least $750 to about $800 on cops, and that's half of the budget right there. And then a lot of them, we do have a lot of cultural boards where you have to spend money on food and spend money on a DJ as well. So that's the whole budget in one event. And then you have other events coming up and people do want to buy snacks for their people or if they're having another event. So the flexibility thing did come up, but it was more so of kind of separating it, having extra money for security and then giving a budget for the program itself.
Got it. Cool. They're like much softer now though. I kind of feel bad. Okay, so now I hit you with the numbers. So we heard the personal stories and everything that the organizations felt, and then I went to the treasurer to get some numbers on what's actually being spent or what's being reported to be spent. So that means you might have requested it, but you only gave in a certain amount. So if it was, you requested 2,000, but you only ended up using 1,000, these are the numbers that were going off of, not the requested amount. So for class threes, out of $20,000, it's allotted to them. 8,000 was spent. And for the 44 class twos that gets allotted to them, 23,000 was spent. Yeah. So, and class ones and class fours, class ones didn't look into it because it wasn't what was being brought up because they already get specific budgets and they're more accurate to what they actually, they spend what their budget allots in most cases. So, with this being said, I understand that some organizations, so then what I did was I looked at the accreditation. So I looked at your accreditation from last semester for class twos and threes, and I said, okay, now let's, what organizations have maxed out their budget? So for class three organizations, we had seven orgs that hit 1,000, right? 7 out of 32 was last semester. 7 out of 32. And then we had for class two organizations, out of the 17 we had, I don't know the number, okay, so I think it's 16 out of 17 that we had, but only two were not in, whatever, two were inactive. We had 12 get close to that. So that's, I'm giving you like $50, so it doesn't have to be exactly the same amount, you know, $100 to $50. So, and now these numbers are not the majority, is what I'm telling you. So the majority is not spending the entirety of their budget, the majority is not, or not giving us the receipts back to show us that they have. Maybe you have and then you don't want the reimbursement. I don't think that's the case though, and most of the, there might have been some cases where something happened, but most of the time, if you want that money, you're gonna come and grab that money back from the treasurer's office, right? So the idea now is, because what was suggested, so we have for class twos and we have class threes, we have 33 and 16 organizations together. That's basically all of the organizations that we have, because we have eight class fours and we have 11 class ones. So that's the class twos and threes are where the majority is at. And the majority of them are not spending their full budgets. So to propose something to the legislature that a budget is increased across the board is not going to happen. It's not going to get approved because they're going to say, what are the numbers that we have? And you said not even the majority is going to be, you know, are actually benefiting from this, so we're not going to increase them. So the other option to have individualized budgets was brought up. And for those of you who don't know, class one organizations, the process for them to approve their budget takes about 2 months. And longer because the class organizations have to sit with their e-board, discuss what needs to be spent, and then propose the budget. And then it takes about, you know, a month and a half round trip, you know, to get the final answer on whether budget is approved. And that is just with the treasurer and the president. And then they go to appropriations committee and propose the budget there. So they have to meet with the treasurer and the president. They have to go to appropriations committee to go through, you know, to make sure that the legislature approves it. And they need to go to the legislature and get that final approval. So that process is a long time. And quite honestly, we don't have the personnel to do it for 60
you know, 67 organizations, or because that's when it's going to come down to. You're not going to have the 8 class 4s, but it's going to, you're going to get to 60 organizations. That process would need to start then in September for that year, you know, or for the following year. And at that time, you don't have your new e-boards, they have no input, so you're having a budget that you determine for them. And then again, I don't think y'all would want a budget that your predecessor gave if they don't know what they were doing, or they don't know how you're gonna program for the next year, right? So there's a lot of facets to what I just talked about. There's a lot of things that come into play. One, we don't have the personnel. If, as you all decided, that you are gonna have a committee, 10, 15 of you, you're gonna need to be a lot of people, because I bet not everyone's gonna show up every week, and start from September to the end, and come every single week and review every single budget that you have, and you have to get training on the budgets, you would have to get legislative training, and then you'd be able to advocate up or down. That's something that could be done. But that would be representatives, another person, because you know they say that having a legislative representative is already too hard, right? You can't even find someone that, if you're mandated for class ones, or if you're, it's an extra bonus point, that can come to the SGA meetings. So this would be about a 2-hour meeting, right? Where y'all would have to agree and sit down and determine these budgets. So it's up to you in the end. If you want to do that, if you're saying right now that I'm going to commit myself a year to get these budgets approved, then that's something. But the summer months, the legislature is not in session, and y'all not in session. You're not here, right? Who wants to come this summer and discuss their budget? No, seriously, you could raise your hand. Like, that was an honest question. If you were coming in the summer and you want to discuss the budget with a committee of people, that means 10 other people need to be there in the committee and discuss it with you the entire summer, then I can imagine that the vice president would absolutely facilitate that. So here's a solution that we came up with on the legislative side, as well as myself and a couple other people, and obviously the treasurer. So the idea is to keep your standard budgets, the amount that you have, because again, the majority does not spend it, and to open up supplemental and emergency appropriations to everyone. So those of you right now, it's only open for class ones, and it's $5,000 capped. So class ones have whatever budget they have, and plus $5,000. Again, it's pending approval. You're not gifted it. You have to do the work, you have to put in the proposal, you have to get approved by the treasurer, and then get approved by the legislature and the committee as well. But it's an idea. There's no cap right now. Right now we're trying to figure out what the cap would be for class twos and threes. Because right now, so the idea is if class threes have $20,000, and stay with me, because this is gonna get a little tricky. So if you have $20,000 and only $8,000 are being spent, right? That means you have $12,000 that no one's touching. So that money can be opened and accessed for the other class three organizations that are actually spending. And the system would work. The only problem would be if all class threes decided that they're all going to spend their $1,000, you would have no money, right? You actually have, because ready, 20,000 times 30, what's 33 times 1,000? Not 20,000, it's 33,000. And then additional to your matching funds, you're at 45. So, are you kidding? Okay. So, how do y'all feel about having a supplemental and emergency? Supplemental, they mean two different things, but basically it's extra money. Access to extra money in lieu of having budgets that are personalized. Okay. Can we just show of hands? Who's two and three? Because y'all are the only ones that are voting on this. Because class ones, they get, you know, their fancy stuff because they're older. Okay, two and three. All right, good. Hands down. So all those in favor of having supplemental appropriations, so amount that you can, extra money you can request, instead of a personalized budget that you would have to do about a bunch more work to get, raise your hand. Okay. All those not in favor of it. Okay. So we have about 30 to 2. All those who are abstaining. Joseph. Monique. Marie.
No, I'm not
Stephen.
I said
good. Okay. All right. So we're going to move forward with this idea that was already brought to the government administration committee to be looked into the policies, and you will definitely get an update on what that is going to be within the next week or two, because we want to let you know if this is going to be a thing for next year and to plan accordingly, or no, you know, to have that. And again, supplemental appropriations can be requested once the legislature is in session. So you can do it from September 6th, or whatever day the first meeting of the SGA is going to be, you can request funds. So you don't have to wait before your event. If you're nervous about getting it or you don't know if it's been approved, you can do it the first meeting and get it approved. So you don't have to wait to the end. Or so some of you said planning purposes, that might be a problem. Well, you can do it right in the beginning. Any questions on it? Yes.
So my question is more so on the fact that, okay, so one of the reasons why I'm saying no to it, it's not because it's not a great idea, because we need to talk about it, but so one of the suggestions this semester was that we are going to do an event at the end of the semester. All class threes, anybody who has money left over, we're signing a paperwork next week. So everybody is giving the rest of their budget to that event. Mm-hmm. So if something like that should be repeated in the fall semester, how will we know how much is left in the appropriated funds from those who have already made it potentially requested at the beginning of the semester?
Okay, so since we have been, it's 8 out of 20, mm-hmm. we've never had to notify anyone that you can't spend. So when it gets close, and it's never gotten close in the 4 years I've been here, or the actual numbers that I looked at going back, you would get notified. So I'm going to grab this back again. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Greek Council does this. So if you're part of a Greek organization, or if you ever had an opportunity to sit in those meetings, Greek Council, they have $44,000. I'm pretty sure that's not us.
It's not.
Good. Okay. So they have $44,000 that they can spend. And there's about 45 organizations, colonies. They don't get access to this, but I don't know what they're at right now. So they have this pot where they can request funds from. So they don't. None of them have actual budgets. So they obviously pay dues. That's what a lot of the Greek organizations allow. And then they have access to this. And then once it's been requested, at the start of the meeting, they always get an update. So 44,000, now we have 38,419.54. And they're notified with that. So this is a number that can always be asked by the bookkeeper, always. Every single month there is a report that's done, that's generated, and it gives the totals that have been spent. And the legislative meeting, three weeks ago, we had Vincent report on it. So he reports on the amount that's been spent between the classes, overall, assets, investments, etc. Once a month to the legislature, but it's something that you could always ask. So if there's ever a controversy or I don't know if we'll have enough money, it gets looked at in the bill, before the bill goes up in front of the legislature. But we've never had a problem because only 8 or 24 out of 40 gets spent. Okay. Any other suggestions, questions on this topic?
How long does it take for the board to get that money from the request?
The supplemental appropriations?
Yes.
So after it's approved by the legislature, okay, so what do you mean requesting the moment you requested it?
Yes.
So you would request those funds 28 days before your event, right? So 28 days now we're at, and you would get those funds 14 days before your event, because it needs to, 28 days, it needs to be on the bill, and you need to go to the committee the week after, then the week after you go to the SGA meeting, and then it gets approved. And then the president signs it, judicial looks at it, but we're lucky because judicial's meet the day right after SGA meeting, so it's super quick. And then you have access to it right after that. So relatively quickly, if any of you class one organizations have used it, SASA has used it, UASO, right? Maybe? Yeah, you did, okay. They can attest that they get it rather quickly after they've requested it. Yes. Correct.
If it's approved, so will we all be voting on if that, say, like class three or can access emergency funding? Like, who will be deciding?
The legislature. Because every organization is allowed and encouraged to have a representative there. So, We have 65 spots, and we only have 22 being utilized by the legislature. So every single one of y'all, minus two, well, eight of you are inactive right now, so 67, you'd be fine, would have a spot in the legislature to vote on that. So I encourage someone from your organization to join the legislature and actually have, you know, a say in that. Any question? Any other questions about that? Okay. So we're going to move forward, and you'll get an update. And I'll give you the SGA meeting that it's going to be discussed, right? So you guys can come to that and speak on the behalf of it. Okay. List of accounts and checks. I know that was something that was really important. So we already have a list right now. Vincent just sent me a list of places that accept checks, and he's adding their addresses, so it's easy for you to fill in some purchase requisition form. And I have compiled a list of accounts that we have, just their names, because we can't give you the password to the account because it's going to go through Betty doing it anyway, so can't give you that. And now it's going to be made pretty for you all by Ariana. She's right there. She already said she'll make it pretty. So you can make it into a little brochure that we're going to put online, and we're going to be able to pick up in the SJ office for easy access when you're filling out paperwork. So that has been tackled. I will be sending it out prior to making it pretty. If any of y'all found another place, perhaps, that we didn't record that you want to include to give that help to another organization, so you will be getting this doc within by Friday. Yeah, because today's Tuesday. Yeah. So the accounts, you wouldn't know. Those are all correct. Those are the accounts that we have. That's all of them, because that's something that we have. But for other places that accept SGA checks, it's just trial and error. So you know that you went to the Dollar Tree in this specific location and they accepted it. And that's what we're looking for. Not the name, not just the name, but the exact location, because it differs. So one ShopRite will do it, and the other ShopRite's like, I've never seen you before, kind of thing. A lot of places are awesome at personal checks, but corporate checks, they're not awesome with, unless it's the individual proprietor that is on the account, which is only Serafina and Vincent. Any questions about that? Good? I don't give it. You guys don't want it? Okay. All right. Everyone's dying here. Okay. So, dining approved vendors. This was a big thing that happened last time. Like, where are the vendors? I've been in contact with dining services, and I can't wait to discuss something that's going to go to them. And we're going to have a meeting within either this coming week or next week to discuss all of the things that you brought to the table. And the one thing they're pushing are the dining approved vendors. So the idea right now is to ask them to compile a list of all the information they already have. So if they've had a vendor from this location and all the files have been good and it's the insurance is still updated and everything is still updated, they're going to have an active list. That's what we're asking from them. Again, I physically can't compile this for you. I don't have this. So this is something that's going to be on their end, and we're asking them to bring it to the table. They've been very cooperative, actually, in the past couple of weeks about getting this information and adjusting a few things. So hoping this relationship sustains and we can get these dining-approved vendors, if I think we will. So if we get any update on that, when we have the meeting with them saying yes, I'll let you send you an email. They said yes. That's pretty much all the email will say, but you get an update if they've agreed to it or not. So that was one part of that. And then the second part, questions on the vendors. Mega.
I actually have a question about the dining services. I feel like the Ice Cream Social has a different for thousands of people.
Yeah.
If we wanted to have Ice Cream Social, the hard people, like people, people are not allowed to have Ice Cream Social somewhere
else? No. That means that you have to submit a food waiver in order to do so. See? Catering, they only do it for this amount of number. We're going to ShopRite and buying 3 cartons of ice cream. If it's under 75 people, they're not going to say a thing. They're just going to approve it. Yeah. Okay.
So I had a comment about the insurance. So yesterday, actually, Amanda from Dining Services said that because the 3 documents that they need for food waiver, the health insurance, the insurance liability, and the certification of that your property. So the health insurance and the certification that you own that business can be the same information. However, the insurance has to be new every single time there's an event. Okay. So the insurance cannot be the one that you use for a previous event. It has to be dated. Okay. Every single time. So just a heads up.
Okay. Very good information to have. Okay. And guess what I have right here that you can't see at all? Is the policies. Their policies written. Yay. That's what we wanted. Okay. So they're actually the same exact thing that is put on the food waiver. They literally copied and pasted it. But that's okay. All right. So as reading through these policies, I noticed a few things. So for example, we talked about if there's food on campus from, you know, Chili's, or if it's from Witch or whatever, tomato, does that count on the food waiver? So does that count, you know, well, do they have to do a food waiver for it, right? And the answer to that is you don't have to do a food waiver for those restaurants, right? Because it's managed by Chartwell's. However, they did not include the C-Store or any of the other places on campus where you can purchase. So we're just going to ask more clarification if it's included or if it's not. Because right now they don't have it listed on their, you know, listed, which doesn't make any sense because they also supply food to those. Chartwell supplies food for those. We're going to talk about the 75 people. I think it's a scam. You think it's a scam. Why, if you're having more than 75 people, do you need to ask them if they can do it first? We're going to talk about it. We're pushing for a higher number. I don't think it's going to be taken away. I actually know for a fact that it's not going to be taken away because they're a business, right? And if you can think of a business mind, you're like, why would they want to lose out on getting all that money? What are they here for? Providing the students? Debatable. So the idea is to push it to 150. Say if it's 150 or more, then you would have to go through them first. That's the number we're going to start with. Hopefully we're going to settle around the 100 to 125, but it needs to be better than 75 is what we're getting to. So I know it's not going to go away. I can't imagine them just saying, okay, we'll just take it away. But we're trying to get it higher so that for those of you who are having those, you know, kind of mid-size events, it's not going to be a big deal. Okay. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about that's listed on here is the way they just label things. So for example, bake sale, to change it to food sale, to clear up the potluck area, because they don't understand that all of your events and all of your meetings are open to every single undergraduate student. They still don't get it. We've talked to them a couple of times and it's just not, they're not there. Because they do work with obviously other outside organizations. They work with Greek Life and those are exclusive, but we are 100% inclusive to everyone. And lastly, for cultural and religious events, we're trying to change that terminology to just cater. Because a lot of you are like, I'm having an ice cream social. Like, that's not a potluck, you know, that's not a food sale. It's not cultural or religious, it's ice cream. So maybe cultural to Italy, I don't know. So we're gonna see what they're gonna do to adjust that and hopefully to make it cater that terminology. Is there anything else about the food waiver policies that you would like to bring up? Yes. You mean on HawkSync you're talking about? Because that's the one on HawkSync. Yeah, we've spoke to Center for Student Involvement about changing, because that's their form. Chartwell's like, actually never saw that. That's Center for Student Involvement, Julie Fleming and Casey Coleman, and we actually asked them to adjust that. So I will follow up with them because we told them that that's not accurate, because there are other options that you could do. It's not just a food sale, you could do a catered event. But not, I think the idea for that was just so it's easy. So when you're doing, you're like, oh, here's the food waiver right here. I don't have to go anywhere for it. But then it became complicated and other organizations were confused. So I'll follow up with them on that. Yes.
So,
So what I just mentioned, we're same thing. Gonna ask them to open up some more options that you're able to click on. That, yeah, so we're gonna make that section easier. Every single semester, they actually ask us, you know, just different organizations and the SGA what they can do to make that process easier when you're booking an event. And I think some of the things you might have seen this semester, like they actually gave you what the layout would look like for your event. They just didn't tell you theater style or classroom. They actually showed you. So that's something that we had suggested to them that they added on to it. So hope, you know, to take these suggestions and change them for next semester. Anything else? Dining policies. Okay. So that's all I have. That's all that was given to me through the class directors and through yourselves from the last time. We're going into open forum now. Does anyone have anything additional that they'd like to mention? Joseph.
So I mentioned this last time. Can everyone hear me?
Just do it.
All right, so I mentioned this last time. If your organization is receiving an outside good money service, you have to have approval from myself and the rest of the e-board. If you want to go through this process, you send an email to myself, and then I will facilitate that discussion with the e-board. You cannot receive anything from an outside entity without it being approved first. So say you want to go to, you know, somebody wants to donate money to you, it has to be approved by myself and the e-board first. I can't stress this enough. It's extremely important. We've had other organizations not follow this policy, and then we have outside organizations telling students what to do. And it's a really unhealthy relationship, so I can't stress it enough. Please fill it out.
Okay. Oh, and then I want to mention on that, because there was some confusion. If you would like to give money, that's a different process. That's through the treasurer's office only, and you just submit, why do you want to give it to this charity, the amount that you want to give to, the amount you want to give to them, different process. So taking money in needs to be approved by the entire e-board and the attorney general. Giving money away would be just the treasurer's office. You don't need to go to anyone else for that. Okay. Anything in open forum, any issues that you've experienced, individual problems, I can take those personally, but if you think that they could be good for the group, please talk about them here. None. Can I get a time check? Last call. Anything? Yes.
I'm a
Future
Educators Association. We've been receiving checks really late sometimes, like the day before.
Oh, I want to talk about that. Yes. Okay. So you were all, sorry, thank you. That was good. You were also asked to send data to your class directors, right? They're right up here, with the time frame that you've been receiving checks, you put them in, the amendments that need to be made, etc. Have you all been doing this? Directors, have they been doing this?
No.
No. Oh, we got a nose. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been, Pam is my girl, but I'm not gonna brag about. There have been instances where checks have been cleared, and she said, when's your rent? I'm like, oh, it's, you know, in a couple days, you don't need that until about the day for it. Like, it'll be like checks for contractual services or something like that. But I'm like, okay, if it's clear, you know, let me just get my checks. If I lose it, I lose it. That's on me. You know?
So she didn't let you take it. Okay, that's just demand the check. Say, I would like my check. I know, confrontation's hard. Please, can I have my check, please? Joe is looking at me and he's like testing me on the side, make sure I say the right things. Can I have my check, please? I do understand, I just met with another org, they're like, I don't know how to ask her for the check that I haven't received in a month. You gotta do it. You know, you have to go in and you have to ask as nice as you can and ask for the money that's rightfully owed to you and your organization. We can work on how to ask, perhaps. Seriously, you can come into my office if you're like, I'm super nervous, I don't know what to do. I'll go in there and I'll ask on your behalf, and then I'll get asked why you asked me on their behalf. And I'll say, because I need to. So if you're ever nervous about it, or anything like that, you could always just talk to Vincent. Say, Vincent, I need this check by this time. I haven't gotten it. It's been 2 months, right? I literally go through this. I just had a check, you know, $300. I didn't get a month and a half. Again, same thing happened again. So you just have to go in. You have to remember it because I forgot. I did honestly forget, like, oh, wait, where's my reimbursement? It's been about 2 months now and I haven't gotten it. So you have to make sure you go in and you ask. But in regards to the data, which is something that we were going to do to give to the treasurer's office to say, here's the actual results of how, you know, efficient your system is. I want additional help in the treasurer's office. I think it's needed. I think y'all are spending more than you have ever spent, which is just, you can just see with the numbers. And there's more of you, right? We don't have Greeks anymore, but now you're increasing in size and we have 11 new orgs coming. So we definitely need people, more people in there, more hands on deck, able to help. But we can't do that unless we have numbers showing that we need the help. So if you have this data, please send it to your directors. And that just is what I said. It's so easy. What event it was, the date that you submitted your paperwork for it, and the date you got the check back. If there was if there was any amendments, you must note them, because that's going to take time off of you getting the check back. If there needs to be corrections, you're going to get it back later, period. You know? So please send it to your directors. I want to compile something before the end of the year to give to the next executive board and to suggest them to hire or to give part-time help or to have another student in there, something. Because the treasurer's office is being swamped with all of this paperwork and all of y'all and all of your questions, and we need people to help you. And that's the bottom line. So if you have that information, send it in. I would like one little event or one timeline from every single organization. 66 instances, it makes it so much easier to have good data and statistics backing up your claims. One story, two stories that you're like, I just gave you three, whatever. One story or two that are like, yeah, I $600 out or $20, because it means the same to me. Your money's gone, your money's gone. It's not as easy as it would be. 67 accounts, all the checks came a month and a half later than they were supposed to. It makes it really easy on us to come up with a good argument. Please. So if you haven't, please send it. The next town hall, please send by the next town hall. Okay? So we can talk about the results and what we can do moving forward and what suggestions you'll have to the next executive board moving forward. Thank you for that. Anything else in open forum? Time? Anyone time? Okay, open forum adjourned at 7:27 p.m. If you haven't signed in, Ariana's in the back, last chance. Please go to Ariana, tell her you're here. If not, you don't get credit for this. Thank you and good night. Yes?
I'd like to inform about kind of like an incident, I guess, with like Pam.
Okay. Can you talk to Vincent about it?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
But I just want to bring it up.
Yes.
So Astrid Limes has, you know, the window displays like downstairs?
Yes.
We requested, we did a thief to request money so we can buy decor for our window display. That's April 1st.
Yep.
We put it in March 6th.
Yes.
And a week and a half before our window display, Pam denied it because she didn't know what the window display was. So that's like something I wanted to bring up. We're working with Vince. He's going to make sure it gets approved on time so we have time to get the supplies for April 1st.
You were asking for an advance check to get the... to buy yourself, right?
Not a check.
Just reimbursement. Just, you wanted to confirm you were getting reimbursed.
Yes, and we're upset that Pam denied it because she
said... Did you have it on Hawksing as an event?
We have it booked on Hawksing. Not like on the Active Minds page, but we have it like...
No, I know, because it's a CSI form. Did you attach the form?
No. But we explained it, and we resubmitted it to her, and it got approved out the form. Because we sat and we had to like explain to her
what the window, and he said that you're going to
he's gonna try. He didn't guarantee
what's
it.
The day?
The window display we're sending off April 1st, and I asked
that's
if by
Monday.
Friday
okay.
we could get it.
Get it approved.
Yeah, because Pam approved it after we told her what it was.
Okay. And you're just waiting for it to be signed? Because again, you don't need an advance check, right?
Yeah, we don't need
you're
a
gonna
check.
Go to, and you're going to get reimbursed.
All that's left is for him to sign.
Got it. So he should have, she should sign it right. Oh.